Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 6. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. The sixth chapter is at least a few leaves from the beginning of your Bible. Or the 11th chapter, excuse me. Genesis 11 and verse number 6. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's read it together. Now, Lord God said, behold, the people is, continue. Somebody say amen. Now we're going to go to the book of Psalms, the 133rd division. Many of you have read this. I shared with you a few weeks ago that we were going to be speaking from this passage, and I wanted you to go home and do some reading. It's only three verses. Psalms 133, verse 1, 2, and 3. Psalms 133, verse 1, 2, and 3. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's read together. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that ran down to the skirts of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon upon the mountains of Zion. For there commanded his blessings, even life forevermore. Father, the hour is come that your son Jesus, and Jesus alone, must be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. God, may Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And the people of God say amen. Say amen. Amen. You may be seated. A strategy for congregational success. Allow me, my brothers and sisters, to posit to you this morning that the desire for success, the proclivity to want success, is native to our humanity. In other words, there is nothing illicit about any of us wanting to be successful. If I were to take a poll in here this morning, I don't believe I will find one person who will confess that they desire to be a failure. No matter who you are, no matter what your giftedness is, no matter where you are from, we all want to be successful. Because when God created us, my brothers and sisters, he placed within us that innate desire for success, because God created us to manage his creation. And to be able to do that, we have to do it well. And so it is okay for any of us and all of us to desire to be successful. Matter of fact, Scripture says that we should covet the most precious of God's gifts. However, my friends, the road to success cannot be traveled alone. I'm going to say that again. Success is it's an inbuilt proclivity that God has placed in us when He created us to manage His creation. Yet, the road to success is not individualistic. It is communal. Success cannot be achieved independently, but interdependently. Everybody say interdependently. In other words, no matter how smart you are, no matter how much money you have, Donald Trump, no matter how gifted you are, you soloist, you pianist, you organist, you teacher, no matter how gifted you are, you did not get there by yourself. Somebody somewhere had something to do with you being the way you are. Either it is a gene that you took from a mother or a daddy, a recessive gene from a grandmother and or grandfather. It may have been that some rich relative of you left you some estate. Or you may have been blessed to have been in a class of a teacher who cared about you and saw a diamond in the rough and helped you to hone that gift. But none of us can proclaim and declare that we are self-made. Success is communal. Oh, I got Bible to prove that. Because in Genesis chapter 1, after God had created all that He intended to make in this world and pronounced that it was good, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us on the sixth day when God made His crowning creation, humanity, man, Adam, to manage His creation, God said, it is good. Then He said, uh-oh. God had an uh-oh moment. He said, it is not good. What is not good, God? It is not good that the man should be alone. I like the Hebrew on that passage because he says, the King James tells us, I will make him help me. But the Hebrew word interpreter actually means a fitting mate. I will make him someone that is fitting, someone that can latch into him, someone that he can commune with and make community with and connect with in such a latch that the both will be successful. I think it was John Donne who captured this idea that none of us can attain to success by ourselves when he wrote in poetic verses in his Meditation 17, no man is an island entire to himself. Each man is a part of the continent. Piece of the mean. John Donne was saying to us, don't you ever get so high on your horse to think that you can be successful by yourself. To think that you can make it by yourself. You need somebody. Oh, and the enemy understands that. And so the devil's plan to keep us from being successful is to pull out one of his most potent weapons out of his arsenal against humanity. What is that weapon, preacher? That weapon is the potent poison of polarization. If the devil can keep us polarized, if he can keep us divided, if he can keep us separated, he can guarantee that we will not be successful. And how does he do it? He uses something called the blame game. Somebody said the blame game. Show me a community that is polarized. Show me a family that is broken apart. Show me a church that is not working together, and I will show you a group of people that are always pointing their finger at somebody else and holding them at fault for what's going wrong. You know the story. Adam and Eve sinned. God came in the garden looking for them. Adam, where are you? Oh, God, I'm naked and I'm ashamed and I'm hiding myself. Who told you that you are naked? Oh, don't ask me who told me. Ask me how I got naked. The woman. And I don't think Adam finished his sentence when the woman said, wait a minute. I'm not going to sit around here and take the blame for this. The serpent. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's the blame game. If you ask anybody who has left this congregation, left this church, walked out in the darkness of nothingness and sin, they will tell you it wasn't their fault that they left. It was somebody that made them leave. And if you ask those who are here, why they're those who are not here are not here, they won't say, well, it was our fault. It was their fault. We are always pointing our fingers and blaming somebody for why we are not successful. But I stopped by to tell you, Berean, that if we are going to succeed in this community, if we are going to do ministry that will flock people to 4555 Fairfields Avenue, we have to come together. God knows the power and the potency of unity. So much so that when he indicted the people in the valley of Shinar who had built this tower called Babel, he introduced that indictment with a commendation. He said, the people is one. Nothing has ever shaken heaven like the oneness of a community. God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who has all power, the one who knows everything, the one who is everywhere. He is where he's going before he leaves, where he's coming from. He looks in the valley of Shinar and said, wait a minute. The people is one, and there is nothing, somebody say nothing. Can you believe heaven making that kind of commendation on the Berean church, looking down here and saying the people is one, and there's nothing that they desire to do that they will not succeed at? God, my brothers and sisters, was not mad at their oneness. He was mad at the goal for their oneness. You read that passage in Genesis chapter 11. He said they wanted to make a name for themselves. See, that's why God decided to break them up. And I just want to interject here parenthetically. If our coming together, if our uniting, if our bringing and calling and inviting and pleading and apologizing to bring people back here at the Berean Church to do ministry is for us to walk around with our nose high like a peacock thinking that we are something, then it will not be successful because we are not intending to make a name for Yahweh and to make a name for the kingdom of God. We are intending to make a name for ourselves. And whenever a group of people get together with the goal of making a name for themselves, God comes and breaks it up. He said, the people is one, and nothing that they desire to do, they will not be able to do because they want to make a name for themselves. Berean, we got to want to make a name for Yahweh. It has nothing to do with Pastor Weegar, got nothing to do with Elder Wilson, nothing to do with Elder Landry, nothing to do with Sister Paula Adams, nothing to do with any of you in here. It's got everything to do with him and him alone. And so watch this. God says, God does something that is so striking. God could have come down, Yahweh, Elohim, the Father, by himself, and broke them up. He could have sent the Holy Ghost. He could have sent Yeshua, Jesus. But you know what he says? He said, if I do that, they will get the wrong message. They will think that I disapprove unity. He says, so come, let us go. Oh, bless his name. Let's let them know that we are not against unity, but we are against the purpose for their unity. He said, come, let us go. Let us who? Let us God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Let us go and confuse their tongues. I want you to know that whenever a community, whenever a congregation get too big for their britches, God will come and confuse their tongue. When they think that it's about them, it's about their legacy and about their history and about the pictures on the walls in the lobby of the caliber of pastors that have pastored this church, God is about to confuse their tongues. And David understood that. He understood the power and the potency of unity for a strategy for community success is based on unity. Everybody say unity. Now, I want to kind of make a distinction, because sometimes when you say unity, people think uniformity. Turn to your neighbor and say, he said unity, not uniformity. Now let me make my case. Here's the difference. Unity says Elder Wilson and I have the same desire to go to New York. We have the same desire to go to New York to meet with the mayor of New York. We got the same desire to go to New York and meet with the mayor to tell him to come and visit the Berean Church. Somebody say unity. Now, here's uniformity. He and I have to wake up at the same time. We have to wear the same suit, the same color of ties, the same shirts. We got to fly on the same plane. We got to sleep in the same hotel, on the same floor. Our beds have to look alike. Somebody said that's uniformity. I hope you're getting my drift, because we usually confuse unity with uniformity. That's why you're looking at somebody cross-eyed sitting across from you, because they didn't clap the way you clap at church. They didn't sing the way you sang at church. They don't dress the way you dress at church. They don't eat, oh bless his name, the way you eat at church. And all of a sudden, we got a problem because you are not eating like me. You are not sitting like me. You are not dressing like me. You are not talking like me. No. God didn't make us all to dress alike and talk alike and look alike, or else we were all going to be 5'7 3/4 inches and short, black, big nose. I wish somebody was hearing me there. God is a God of variety. Is anybody listening to me this morning? God was not trying to clone us. I like Elder Wilson, but I don't want to look like Elder Wilson. Man, can you imagine if all of us were the size, the look, the image of Elder Wilson in this room? We'll get tired looking at each other. I'm so glad that my wife don't look like me. Oh, bless his name. That's why I can't understand these people who are trying to change God's model of Adam and Eve to Adam and Steve. Eve and Eva. Nah, God didn't plan it to work like that. God is a God of variety. Do I have two witnesses in here that can testify that you are glad that that person that God connected you with don't look like you, can't think like you, don't... The problem with the church, can I just talk about the church today, is we are trying to put people in the chain gang. I have a sermon I'll preach here one of these days. It's called Off the Chain. Back in the old days, they had the railroads, and they have the chain gang, and it was these prisoners that they tied together. If one man fell, everybody fell. And it's about time that the church get off the chain. Because we're all unique in our unique ways, but we can all have the same goal, the same purpose. I listened to Elder Landry, and I said, man, I got some preaching elders at that church. But I'm not trying to preach like Elder Landry. I listened to Elder Wilson, and I was telling him that he reminded me of a great preacher in New York City. But I'm not trying to preach like Elder Wilson. I'm not trying to be Elder Proje. I am me, take me or leave me. Because God made me so. And brothers and sisters, if this church is going to grow, if this church is going to be able to be viable and do ministry in this city, we got to stop wanting people to be uniform instead of united. Now, uniformity has its place. I love to see my ushers all in the same dress. We have communion. You know, we wore, Elder Landry called me and said, Pastor, we're wearing, you know, black suit, white shirt, and white ties. That's good. But newsflash, even if we came in pink, polka dot, black, and brown, and all of us had different colors, the Holy Ghost was still going to be here. You can't confuse the fact that we want some structure and some order and some uniformity with the fact that it is sin if you don't do that. And the problem with the church is we keep confusing uniformity with unity, and we want unity to work our way. We want everybody to be like us. And when they're not like us, we cut them off and we write them off. But I'm so glad that God made me me, and he made you you. And I have to love you and respect you and work with you as you. We need to be united. The same goal, the same purpose, the same thinking to give Yahweh glory. Are there two people in here who is a God? Unite us today. And David picks up this idea of the power and potency of unity, and he calls to Israel that is divided. The southern kingdom has two tribes, and the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, they are divided. And David says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is. I like the King James, but sometimes I have a problem with the King James because It changes the meaning of the word in the original language. If you read that passage from the Hebrew, it doesn't say for brethren to dwell together. It says when brethren dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. In other words, whenever we come together, our unity, the first thing that David says, it pleases God and promotes cordiality. Point number one, if you want to write it down, unity pleases God and promotes cordiality. David uses two Hebrew words, adjectives. He said, behold, how good. He is actually reflecting on creation history. When God said it is good, he uses the same Hebrew word, tov. Genesis 1:18, it is not tov. It is not good. Psalms 133 verse 1. Behold how tov, how good. That word means how beautiful, how nice, how pleasing it is when brethren dwell together in unity. The next word he uses is the Hebrew word na'im. And na'im creates this idea of pleasure. This idea of cordiality, this idea of an environment, a place where people love to be, desires to be. David says unity pleases God and creates a pleasurable, a inviting environment for mankind. I don't know about you, but every now and then when my money can stretch to that limit, I take my family to a restaurant called Olive Garden. Anybody know? Olive Garden. Well, when you get to Olive Garden and they take you to your seat, one of the first things that they do that I like is they bring you a bowl of tossed. Okay, I just want to see if anybody else is with some garlic bread. Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep you in the seat so that you can order from the menu. They're trying to make Olive Garden pleasing to you. But here's the thing about the tossed salad. When you look in that salad bowl, you see some romaine lettuce. You see those purple onions, and I've never learned how to say their name. You see some green pepper. You see some cucumbers, a slice. You see a little grated cheese, if you like that, and then a dash of First Adventist virgin olive oil. And when you mix that thing together, and you grab you a piece of that garlic bread, you begin to just salivate and just sit there and wait for your meal. Now I've never seen a salad made only from romaine lettuce or from some onions by themselves or some slices of cucumber. No, you got some cucumbers, but you don't have a salad. And the cucumber in that bowl does not complain to the onion you're talking about. You slice too thin. Nor does the romaine lettuce complain to the olive oil and say, you're too greasy. No. They all have their unique work and unique purpose and unique place. But the one goal that they are united around is to please the customer that is sitting in that restaurant. I can't get no help up in here. I stopped by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that when we come together, when we are united, we are like God's tossed salad. Every time God sees the church, sees the community that are together, he begins to salivate. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The second thing that David does is he tells us what unity is like, and he uses two similes. You know, those figures of speeches that we learn in English class, grammar school, you know, metaphor, simile, personification. He says that unity protects from purposeless pain and positions congregation to foster Yahweh's cause. This is how he says it. He said, it is like the precious ointment upon the head. He uses unity as the anointing oil. He simplifies unity as the anointing oil that was placed on the head of Aaron. When Aaron was pulled aside from the rest of Israel, he and his sons, and God set them aside and sanctified them and positioned them to do a special work for him. David says that unity is like that oil that sets us aside and positions us to do God's bidding. He says it protects us from purposeless pain. Do you know that when you are called and set aside by God, he places a fence around you that is so high that he dares the devil and any of his imps to come near you? He says, touch not my anointed, nor do my prophets no harm. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the anointing is an election on your life for God to protect you so that you can do what God has positioned you to do. Oh, we know about election. Matter of fact, we're in a campaign season right now. And those whom we elect, we protect. I got up one morning when I was pastoring the Ephesus Church in New Orleans, elder, and I was running late to get to my church, and I got on the road, and they detoured me. Not only did they detour me, they detoured every car. We had to go almost another 5 miles
around to get to where I was going. So I had to ask, what's going on? And I said, well, President Barack Obama is in town. Wait a minute. That brother don't pay taxes in this state. He doesn't even live here. I live here. I pay taxes. I work here. This road belongs to me, but I am not elected. Are we somebody with heaven? So I don't get the protection that Barack gets. He is protected because he is elected and selected to do a special work. David said unity is like an election that protects the people of God who are united from purposeless pain. You know, now there are some pain that God will allow to come to us because they have a purpose to giving God glory. But there are some pain that we bring upon ourselves that has no purpose in God. And when we're not united, we bring that pain upon ourselves. We talk about people like they're dogs, and it hurts. We meet and plan how to disenfranchise other people, and it hurts. And sometimes those pains are not necessary because they're not intended to bring glory to God. Oh, but when we are united, we protect each other. We watch over each other. We make sure that everybody's pain is my pain. Everybody's joy is my joy. Everybody's laughter is my laughter. I heard about what they call the dancing birds. I was reading this National Geographic study that buzzards are called dancing birds. And the reason they're called dancing birds is because of the way that they hunt for food. It said you will always see maybe 50 or 40 buzzards in a field. And when they get in that field, they begin to tap their feet, all to the same rhythm. And when they tap their feet together, it make a noise that sounds like rain. And the worms under the ground come up to the surface of the earth thinking it's raining. And guess what? Buzzards got meal for days. Why? Because they dance together. They got one purpose, and that purpose is we're going to feed today, and everybody's going to have sufficient and not need anymore. But to do that, we can't just let one buzzard go out there and start tapping its feet because it's not going to make any noise that sounds like rain. We need all of the buzzards. I wish there were three people in here who would say, God, give us dancing partners in this place so that we can begin to tap our feet to the rhythm of the Holy Ghost so that blessings can come down. I can be blessed, and he can be blessed, and she can be blessed, and we can be blessed, and this community can be blessed, this city can be blessed. Is there two people in here who want a dancing partner? Shout, God, give me a dance partner. Unity protects from purposeless pain and positions us to do Yahweh's bidding. The third thing that the psalmist does is he uses another simile to describe unity. He says, unity is like a dew. It's like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Now, here's what you need to know about dew. Dew is one part of nature that is intended to nurture, to moisturize, without making any noise about it. See, when it rains, you know it's going to rain. Sometimes the rain washes away some things that it shouldn't. The rain is good, but it makes a lot of noise. You hear lightning, you see lightning flash. You hear thunders roar. You see winds blowing, but all the dew, it comes out at night when all the fanfares are gone, when nobody's there to take a picture and to do a news conference and a press conference, when there's no one around to applaud it, the dew comes softly. It doesn't harm anything, doesn't hurt anything. It moisturizes, it nurtures the ground, the earth. Matter of fact, before sin, God didn't send rain. It was always the dew. And then right before the sun comes up, the dew fades away without even making a note. Nobody sees it come, nobody sees it go, but it always does its work. So what does David, or what is David trying to teach us when he uses the simile of dew? He says he's trying to teach us that unity produces philanthropy or philanthropy and prevents pride. In other words, if your work in this church is because you want Pastor Wegar and the elders to call you up and give you a plaque, and you get mad because they give everybody a plaque and they didn't give you one, they got other people's picture in the record and your picture isn't there, and you got the wrong motive. God wants us to be like dudes. Come in, do the work, be philanthropic without being proud, without any pride, without making any noise about it. Slip in, do it. Then he said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. I remember, and I know we got to keep record, but when I was growing up in this church, they don't do that anymore. Praise the Lord. We go to church, and right after Sabbath school, between Sabbath school and church, they used to call it lay activities. Yeah, I know there's not too many old Adventists in here. I can tell. And somebody would get up to the desk and it would say, article of clothing given away. And you see, they never say anything. They never say, four or five. And you know, when you're a kid, you're wondering, what are all them fingers going up? You're thinking they're at Wall Street, you know, bitten on something. Number of people help. Anybody remember that? And then they had a little board. Well, I don't know about your churches down here, but where I grew up, they had a little board up there, and they put all them numbers on it. Elder Sims, am I telling it right? It's good to keep record, but God is not calling us to be flamboyant about what we've done. Walk around, yeah, you see that sister? See the brown dress she's wearing? I bought it. Oh, yes, when she got here, she and her children, they didn't have anything. But, you know, our community service. No, 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 no. Turn to somebody and say, just be a dude. Just do it. And then fade away. When the sun rises, let God get the glory. David said, unity, number one, pleases God and promotes cordiality. Unity, number two, protects from purposeless pain and positions us to do Yahweh's bidding. Unity number three produces philanthropy and prevents pride. But this is the part that I like. Number four, he says, unity precipitates Yahweh's favor that yields success. Now, if you're anywhere in South Louisiana, you know what precipitation is. When I moved to New Orleans over 10 years ago, they told us, don't ever leave your window down because you can go in a store for 5 minutes and you come back. It was sunny and shining. And you come back and your car is wet because it's rain. And that happens because of the precipitation. We got all of these ponds and waterways and lakes and there's evaporation going up. And when a little goes up here and a little goes up there and a little goes up there and all of a sudden they come together, they cause this precipitation that causes it to start a rain. David says, unity precipitates Yahweh's favor. How does he say it? He said, because there the Lord commanded his blessing. Even life forevermore. Oh, my brother and sisters, I stop by to tell us today, if we want God to, and listen to the word David uses, he said God commanded. In other words, the blessings are ordered by God. David is using a military term here. In other words, there's nothing that can stop the blessing when you are united. There's nothing that can come in the way of the blessing when we are united, because God will give favor, order to follow us. I wish somebody was listening to me. God will order those twins called grace and mercy to be chasing us. Every time we look behind us, we're going to see somebody start us. But you don't have to be afraid when you are united, because these stalkers are called grace and mercy. And when they come like rain. The Bible says that there God commanded the blessing. I am praying that God will unite us, will unite this church, will give us one goal and one purpose and one plan. And that plan is to bring glory to God, to serve the people of this community, to reach out to the homeless, reach out to the poor, reach out to the fatherless, reach out to the motherless, reach out to the single mothers, reach out to those that don't have a job. So much so that God cannot help but command a blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Are there three people in here who going to say, God, we need the showers. We are tired with little sprinkles. We are tired of just getting little sprinkles here and there. We need a storm coming through here of the blessings of God that not only bless us here, but catapults us into eternity. David said, there the Lord commanded his blessings and even life forevermore. That means that the stuff that we are doing here will not just be rewarded here. We will pass from here to another place where there will be no more sickness, no more death, no more dying, no more suffering, no more pain. We will be with our God forever and ever. Is there two people in here who can shout, God, send us the rain? Unity, my brothers and sisters, is the strategy for success. And Berean, if we're going to be successful, not to make a name for ourselves, but to bring glory to Yahweh, we have to unite. Where's my musician? I'm done. Songwriter says, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. That's unity. agreed with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Can you turn to somebody next to you and say, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you today that from this day, we're going to change the culture. We're going to change the mindset. We're going to change the thinking of the Berean Church on 4555 Fairfields Avenue. Nobody is too important and nobody is less important. We're all needed. We need our hands on deck. I need you. You need me. We need each other so that with unity of purpose and mind and plan and goal, God can rain down showers of blessing that will cause this church to be the greatest church in the state of Louisiana. What do you say? And I don't know about you, but I believe he can do it. I say, I believe he can do it. Can he do it? Yes, he can. Yes, he can bring back our children. He can bring back those members who have left because they were hurt. He can bring back those who left because they felt like they weren't good enough to be here. They made some mistakes. They went off the beaten path and somebody made them feel that they had committed their own pardonable sin, that God didn't love them anymore, that Jesus' blood couldn't save them anymore. There are people who have left because they felt like their gifts were not being used. They felt like nobody respected their gifts and acknowledged. But we need to call them all back and say, we are ready to unite so God can bless us and bless this community. Come on, let's stand together. Touch somebody. I want everybody in the church to touch. We're going to touch. We're going to make a chain of touching here. And we're going to sing that song together. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Agreed with me. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwelt together in unity. It is like that precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down the skirt of his garment. It's like the dew of Hermon. The dews that fell upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Everybody, I need you. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. And agree with me. We're all young, old, men, women, boy, girl, children, rich, poor, middle class, upper class, career, non-career. We need everybody. Important to me. I need to survive. You are important. You are important to me. I need to survive. You are important. You are important. You are important. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. My brothers and sisters, let the word go out. Share it on the mountaintop. Share it through email, text messages. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, whatever means you have, let them know that Berean is ready to give glory to God. The Berean is ready to move to another level where we are united no matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done, who you've done it with. Come back home. Because God is ready to pour out the rain. The rain that's going to bathe us with the Spirit and the power of God sent us out in this community that need us so badly to do ministry that we give glory to God. Who believes the word of God today? Believe the word of God. Here is my appeal. Here is my appeal. I'm not appealing for you to join the church today. I'm not appealing for you to get baptized today. But this appeal will cover all of that. If, first appeal, if you are in here, oh Spirit of the living God, I pray right now, God, that your Spirit will fall upon us. I know you are here already, but God, I'm praying right now that you break up the stony hearts, that you take down every fence of defense, God, and make us vulnerable so that we can do your will in Jesus' name. If you are in here, if you are in here, and there's someone in this church that you feel like you have an issue with, here's the appeal. I ask you to look around. If that person is here, walk from your seat and go to that person and just give them a hug and tell them, I need you and you need me. Let's work together. That's my first appeal. Let's do that right now. Let's do that right now. If you know anybody that you've had an issue with, you know anybody that you are upset with, you know anybody that you felt like have hurt you, anybody that did something that you haven't forgotten, I need you to move and find that person if they are in here right now and make that connection and let them know, listen, I'm going to let it go. I love you. I need you. And you need me. Let's work together. Because until we can come together in one accord with all of our differences apart, the Holy Ghost is not going to fall. And we don't need anybody blocking the Holy Ghost right now, because God is getting ready to do something major in this church and in this city. That's my first appeal. Let pride go. Don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them. If you feel like you have hurt somebody, you said something about somebody that they didn't feel good about, and you know it. You've injured somebody. You've injured somebody's child, somebody's wife, somebody's husband, somebody's grandchild. You said something. You did something. And you need for God to fix it today. I'm asking you to find that person. You know, I can't see, so I don't know who's moving. But if you're moving, you're following the will of God right now. Hallelujah. God, move in this place right now. Make this a new day right now. Break down the stony hearts right now. God, shake us up right now. Time is running out and we don't have time to play church anymore. God, fix it right now in Jesus' name. Because we need to be united. We need to be united. Now here's the second appeal. If this message has touched your heart, if God has spoken to you, not the preacher, but God has spoken to you through these mumblings and stuttering words of this preacher, and you want to say, God, I am committed to the unity that I heard about today so that we can do your work, I ask you to just raise your hand. To just raise your hand. God, you see the hands of your people. I'm raising my hand too. I don't know too much about this church. I'm learning. But God, I raise my hand because we are about to come together with one goal, one purpose, one mindset, not uniform, but united to do your will. Turn to the person next to you, give them a hug and tell them you love them and Jesus loves them. You need them and Jesus needs them. And if you're visiting with us and you don't have a church home, please make a decision today to make this your church home, because Berean is on the move and we're glad that you are here. May God bless us as we move on to the next level, united with the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, put your hands together and bless the Lord.